This is the eHealth Radio Network, your source for health advice on demand. And now your host, Eric Michaels.
Thanks for joining us once again here on the eHealth Radio Network. This is your host, Eric Michaels. eHealth Radio gives you the most current health information, news, and advice featuring some of the leading innovators in healthcare and wellness who are changing healthcare as we know it. For more eHealth Radio reports, we invite you to visit our main radio channel site at eHealthRadioNetwork.com. Today, we're speaking with Dr. Peter Bonuti. He is a surgeon, inventor, author, professor, consultant, and entrepreneur with over 30 years of experience. And Dr. Bonuti, we thank you for joining us here today on eHealth Radio.
Thanks very much. Thanks for your time, Eric.
Yeah, pleasure to have you back with us on the program and really do appreciate your time. So you were a guest on the show previously and talked about cluster headaches and strokes and relieved the first externally powered implantable microneuromodulation device. And you have insights on central nervous system disorders or CNS and the blood-brain barrier. Let's break that down to help out the listeners here today.
Okay, so starting with the big untapped or medical challenge currently exists is trying to treat central nervous system or brain disorders. And the reason that that's so challenging is the brain has a protective mechanism called the blood-brain barrier. It limits the size of molecules or particles that can go across and access the brain for treatments. So standard treatments that you might use for the heart or lungs or liver or other organs, as an example, can penetrate in those organs. But in the brain, the blood-brain barrier acts as a filter and limits the size of these molecules. So it's made it very difficult through all of medical history to try to treat disorders of the central nervous system or of the brain. And that affects over 1 in 8 people in the world. So issues as simple as depression, going on to trauma, traumatic brain injuries, going to tumors, cancers, Alzheimer's, dementia, a whole plethora of problems because the brain is insulated essentially or protected. The body, however, has a mechanism that allows the blood-brain barrier or this filtering agent, if you might say, to potentially open and close. And we have developed some technology using a neuromodulation system or electrical stimulation that uses electricity to affect the nerves in something called the spinopalatine ganglion, or SPG, but that by stimulating those nerves, we can not just open the blood-brain barrier by dilating and expanding these tight junctions that limit the access of molecules, but also just importantly to close it so that you can open and close the door. There are over $660 billion of pharmaceuticals and medical treatments that have been approved or available for treatment of central nervous system disorders. However, because of the blood-brain barrier, they can't access the brain, so they're effectively not helpful or not useful. Or if you try to increase the concentrations of these so high to try to get a 0.5% or 1% of these pharmaceuticals or medications, they sit there and have all kinds of complications and side effects. So the real key, sorry for the noise, Mark. So the real key here is how to be able to treat and use existing pharmaceutical agents and also biologics, not to just open the blood-brain barrier, but then also to protect it by closing the blood-brain barrier back down. So that's key to us, and it's key to making future changes in the way that we approach medical management. As a follow-up to that, for example, you might use people or are talking about stem cells and biologics and mechanisms to treat and allow tissue to heal and regrow. So then the challenge is with this, how do you get stem cells, which are even larger molecules or larger structures, into the brain? And by stimulating the SPG, we have data that shows that we can actually introduce biologics, including stem cells. So now this whole, what we would call the neurodegenerative process, which means simply things like aging, dementia, we can now start to look at ways to treat and enhance the central nervous system so that we can now allow potential neural restoration, healing of the central nervous system tissue. Because in the past, we've always thought if the nerve cells in the brain die, it's permanent death. You will never recover. So you try to optimize the residual living nerve tissue. And here we have a potential, for example, in diseases like stroke, other things, cerebral palsy in children, that we can now, by opening and selectively opening and closing this blood-brain barrier, we now have a whole new mechanism. It's a whole like new frontier to try and treat central nervous system disorders in a completely novel fashion, much like we would treat the rest of the human body. But because of this blood-brain barrier system, we can open and close it. So I don't know if I talked too much, but the big picture is attacking, and we're using the body's own mechanisms, and we're enhancing those mechanisms to allow novel treatments to the central nervous system. There are other technologies that exist that people are looking at to try to do this. For example, ultrasound. They're using high-frequency ultrasound to open the blood-brain barrier. That's an artificial system where you sit there and use you're essentially applying heat, thermal energy through ultrasound, and to open the blood-brain barrier. What's the problem with that? The problem is when you go with ultrasound, you permanently damage the blood-brain barrier, and it takes 72 hours or longer for those areas to start to heal. So now you have a porous membrane that using an artificial system to open it, and they've forgotten the whole issue that you need to close it as well, because if it's left open, you get edema, swelling in the brain, other pharmacologics, other agents can get across the blood-brain barrier. So the key feature is not to use, I would argue it's a crowbar to open it up and leave it open. The idea is to use the body's own natural mechanisms and natural systems to open and then close the blood-brain barrier, so allow it to work in a normal physiologic fashion. And all we're doing is stimulating or enhancing that, but also not forgetting that the blood-brain barrier is important to protect the brain. So you also want to close it on the way out after your treatment occurs. So we have algorithms and timing. So when we deliver it orally or intravenous or intra-arterial, the timing relative to opening and then closing it is critical to minimize any type of side effects and optimize the natural or biologic effects. So I've talked a lot, but I hope I'm trying to give you a big overview why it's so challenging. And yet on the other hand, why it's so critical to be able to do this. And using a device that doesn't go into the brain, we're using this just outside the brain. There's a small 10-minute surgery. We implant this little microneurological chip to the sphenopalatine ganglion. And then bang, we can sit there. And with that, there's no battery to it. It's externally powered. And we can sit there and vary the frequency timing so that you can treat this myriad of disorders with a simple system that could be a permanent implant. You don't even know it exists. You go inside through the mouth, make a small half-inch incision, deliver the device, close it, and physiologically, you don't even know it's there. And from a functional perspective, it could sit there for years. You don't need it. And if you do need it, a disease pops in, then you can selectively turn this on and off to enhance function. So it has a real interesting opportunity and treatment program. You mentioned cluster headaches in the past and where the technology was. We started by treating cluster headaches. Well, we found that with cluster headaches at that frequency of 100 hertz, you close the blood-brain barrier. And we found that, and this has all been done in humans, so this is not some radical concept. We found also at 10 hertz, over 300 patients, why we open the blood-brain barrier, so we can open and close it by varying these frequencies. And this is controlled electronically, so it's a very simple, straightforward process. So I've talked a bunch, but I hope I'm trying to give a big overview of a very complex topic.
Well, you did a tremendous job there. I can't thank you enough. Well, well done there on a very complex topic indeed. Now, what is the blood-brain barrier and why is this so important in the treatment of CNS disorders? Get into some details there.
Well, the blood-brain barrier, we may argue it's a filter. It has what we call tight junctions. And these tight junctions sit and limit the size of particles you can get in the brain. So, for example, sugar. Sugar is generally what you consider the power source or the energy source for the brain. Sugar is a short-chain hydrocarbon. And it's basically less than 6 carbon molecules to get through. It's under 70 Daltons or a size measurement, okay? But if you take starches, and starches are made of multiple chains of sugars, as an example, a starch won't go across the blood-brain barrier. It doesn't function. It stays outside. So you can't deliver any type of larger molecules above anywhere from 70 to 100 Daltons. Well, many of the treatments that we use, such as the pharmaceuticals, They're small molecules, large molecules. Some of them are $150,000, $200,000, much, much larger molecules. And the blood-brain barrier, these tight junctions, they filter it out and prevent access into the brain. So it makes it very challenging. With this system, we use the body's own mechanisms. One is vasodilatation, stretch out the blood vessels, which allows the tight junctions to open a little bit. There's something called transendothelial resistance, electrical resistance. So we change that electrical resistance all through the sphenopalatine ganglion. And the third is what works, stimulating the autonomic nervous system. The autonomic nervous system is what covers flight or fright. People get scared, the blood pressure is going up, the heart rate goes up. That's the vagus nerve going down to the heart, the lungs. Well, in this situation, we use the sphenopalatine ganglion, which is the autonomic nervous system, to the brain. And by stimulating that and opening and closing it, we're now allowed to, and we're now able to sit and find ways to treat this by opening and closing a function and essentially controlling the autonomic nervous system, the brain. You might, for lay people, maybe the vagus nerve, they might have heard of that. It's like doing that, but the vagus nerve goes to the heart, the lungs, the stomach. The SPG goes and controls the autonomic nervous system, the brain. So we have this technology is focused on that, and that allows us to treat the brain.
Now let's take that even further. What have you discovered, and why is this breakthrough for CNS disorders, and what kind of CNS disorders do you address?
Really quickly, so there's a number of medications that you may have heard on the market, monoclonal antibodies that are being marketed now for approval for Alzheimer's in the brain. Alzheimer's is an accumulation of plaque that sits on the brain tissue and essentially shuts down the function of the brain, leads to dementia. So there's new medications, companies have spent billions of dollars introducing them, and these immunoglobulins can be very effective for removing the plaque. But they're 150 to 200,000 Daltons in length. They're massive molecules, and they can't get through the blood-brain barrier. So one of them, even though they've spent billions of dollars launching it, they've already taken it off the market because they only had $7 million in sales, and all the hype and reference has been challenged. So with that same therapy, if you can open the blood-brain barrier, we can get these monoclonal antibodies across the blood-brain barrier. They can attack the plaque, remove the plaque from Alzheimer's disease, and allow restoration of function so that we can now start new ways, for example, to treat one of the most complex disorders, which is Alzheimer's dementia. In a more basic fashion, you may have people that have had strokes. Stroke, as you know, you have damage to the nerve cells. They die in the brain because of loss of blood supply. The only major treatment that exists right now is removing the clot, if you can catch it within the first 24 hours, and then potentially use blood thinners. Well, the challenge there is that only affects about 6% of people. The vast majority of people have strokes. The brain tissue dies. There's no ability to turn that around. We have a whole system that's based on this that allows you to not just in what we call a subacute stroke scenario. So in this situation, we now, after the stroke has occurred, you try the best to remove the clot. You do some blood thinner short term. That's for 24 hours. After that, then we use this system to open the blood-brain barrier, enhance the ability of stem cells, biologics, pharmaceuticals, to allow what we call neural restoration, so these tissues can heal now and potentially allow nerve cells to regrow. We call it neural restoration. And that's a completely new concept. So the idea that once a brain tissue is dead, it's dead permanently, and you have to stimulate the cells around there, now you don't think about that. Now you can actually have the potential to try to not just limit the damage from the stroke, but also to sit there and enhance potential healing and restore the brain. And this also for aging, for dementia, for memory loss, this whole series of neurodegenerative disorders, we have a whole new platform for trying to treat these by using these same basic principles, enhancing the blood flow, opening the blood-brain barrier, getting more oxygen, getting more nutrients, allowing biologics to get into the brain to heal. So it spans a wide plethora, a wide scope of diseases, because until now we had no ways to treat or manage these disorders. And this now opens the door to all kinds of new treatment options and existing treatment options to help heal and help treat central nervous disorders. And this could be something as simple as someone with stress or anxiety, a more basic level, to others such as Parkinson's. You don't want to be implanting chips inside the brain and controlling the brain through artificial chips. The best would be to let the brain tissue heal itself, and we can allow this and deliver the pharmaceuticals across the blood-brain barrier. So we don't need to have robotics, chips, implants into the brain. And we do this all by staying outside the brain, but controlling the body's own functions to enhance these capabilities.
Really do appreciate the thorough coverage. We've been speaking with Dr. Peter Bonuti. He is a surgeon, inventor, author, professor, consultant, and entrepreneur with over 30 years of experience. And he's joined us once again here on eHealth Radio's Health News and Technology Channels, a part of the eHealth Radio Network. Now, I understand that you have more than 700 patients using the Relief product. How soon will you address the BBB with patients using Relief?
Well, we're going to our first study is going to look at existing patients that have the device and cluster headache, and we're going to be utilizing those patients to start studying the blood-brain barrier in the third and fourth quarter of this year. So we'll take patients that already have them, that have been successful in the cluster headache space, and we'll be looking at both small and large molecules. We have a couple of pharmaceutical firms we're working with, and we're going to be working on delivering these and showing these studies can be very quick because the idea is just to show, can we open and close the blood-brain barrier, which type of molecules, how big a molecule or a biologic can we get across the blood-brain barrier. So those studies will start toward the end of this year in human patients, and then we hope next year to broaden this out as we have broad regulatory approvals in on the new implants and new devices we've developed.
Dr. Bonuti, I also understand that you have assembled a scientific advisory board. Who are these experts, and what is your mission together here?
Well, the idea was to assemble the best team that we could in the world that have been doing innovation and both on a medical surgical side. So Dr. Ali Razai, who is one of the world's leading expert neurosurgeons, he started developing this technology in 2012 and 13. So Dr. Razai is the head of scientific advisory board. Dr. Frank Pepe, who's head of plastics and ENT surgery at the Cleveland Clinic, has done a number of different products and developments. Dr. Pepe has helped us with all the surgical approaches, instrumentation, design and development. Dr. Stu Tepper, who is working with, he's a neurologist at Dartmouth, helping on the clinical side as well. Peter Goadsby in England, who is helping us also on the neurology side. And then most important is Dr. Michael Lang, who is a neurosurgeon at the University of Pittsburgh, who has done all the basic animal research and the technological work. He's one of our leads in developing how we approach this for the central nervous system. So we have a solid core of excellent advisors and designers who are helping us drive this project forward and some of the world's experts in these spaces.
Tremendous details and information here today. I really appreciate the thorough coverage here per your expertise. Tell me, how can potential patients and medical professionals learn more about Relief, and where can they sign up?
Well, obviously, we have our own website, relieve.com. They can also contact me directly, like my email is p@bonuti.net, and we're also happy. We have our office numbers. We're in exciting Effingham, Illinois, which is in the central portion of the U.S. So that number is 217 and then 342-3412. And we're happy to chat with anyone anytime about this. Contact me directly if you'd like, and I'd be happy to share additional information.
And of course, listeners, as always, you can draw your attention to the show notes where you can find this information as well. Dr. Bonuti, all the best, and look forward to another conversation right here on eHealth Radio. Thanks so much for your time today.
Thank you for your time, and I appreciate everything.
Always a pleasure. Again, we've been speaking with Dr. Peter Bonuti, a surgeon, inventor, author, professor, consultant, and entrepreneur with over 30 years of experience. And for all the details, simply visit relieve.net. And again, this has been your host, Eric Michaels, and we do thank you for your continued support of the eHealth Radio Network. Join us again soon for another episode that will help further expand your knowledge on those things that are important to your health and wellness. For more eHealth Radio reports, we invite you to visit our main radio channel site at eHealthRadioNetwork.com. And as always, we do thank you for tuning in.
Thanks for tuning in to the eHealth Radio Network. For more information or to subscribe to this podcast, visit eHealthRadioNetwork.com.